You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
In February 2007, the U.S. started formal negotiations with Poland and the Czech Republic to install so-called missile shields, part of America's Star Wars strategy. Although 70% of people in the Czech Republic oppose this scheme, their calls for a referendum have been ignored. Joseph Gerson is the Director of Programs for the American Friends Service Committee in New England. He's also author of a new book, Empire and the Bomb, and he joins me to discuss the situation in the Czech Republic. Welcome back to Red Eye, Joseph.
Well, thank you. It's good to talk to you.
The U.S. installations in the Czech Republic will be part of Star Wars. Remind us of the basic features of the Star Wars program, if you would.
Well, the goal, the myth of this was to create an impenetrable shield initially around the United States that could ostensibly protect the United States from missile attacks from other countries while allowing the United States to launch its own first strike missile attacks. And now, what, almost 30 years since Ronald Reagan launched it, the efforts are to build so-called missile defense bases in Europe, the Middle East, and East Asia.
So how does that, the U.S. Star Wars program in Europe, fit into this global agenda?
Well, in theory, though, it's being advertised as an effort to block Iranian missiles that don't yet exist. But with the move that was revealed this week to also open negotiations for a missile base in Lithuania, it's quite clear, as the Russians have been saying all along, that this system is really targeted against the Russians. On the other side of the planet, the way the Chinese explain the U.S. Effort is to say that what they're looking for is a shield to reinforce the first strike sword, and Russians are afraid that perhaps as early as the middle of the next decade, the U.S. might have a system that could neutralize all of their missile systems, thus making them entirely vulnerable to U.S. attacks.
So this is a total domination effort on the part of the U.S.?
Yeah, I mean, U.S. Pentagon doctrine is what's called full-spectrum dominance. That's a Pentagon term. And the idea is that the U.S. must maintain military forces that will allow it to dominate any nation anywhere in the world at any time at any level of power. So this is simply a logical or illogical extension, you know, of this somewhat insane doctrine.
You've explained that the U.S. Is, at least in Russian eyes, directing its military at neutralizing Russia. But how would the installation of these parts of the Star Wars system in the Czech Republic also affect Russia's relation with the European Union?
Well, what's been happening from the Russian perspective is that as the United States has advanced NATO, expanded NATO literally to the borders of Russia, and has been building this missile system in Central Europe, the sense is that the United States is renewing the Cold War. They're feeling increasingly under siege from the United States, and so they've been making belligerent noises in response, threatening to cancel existing treaties, and concentrating on their own military modernization in order to deter what the United States may be up to.
So the sale of natural gas, for example, from the great reservoirs in Russia to Europe is something that the Russians are using as try and change America's leverage by working via the European Union? Pressure on
Union? I think it works at both levels. On the one hand, this is the one lever of influence they do have in relationship to, or the primary lever of influence they have in relation to Europe. By the second level, it's simply economic. I mean, after the collapse of the Soviet Union, Russia at one point had the gross national product of Holland. But as its energy reserves have become few of more strategically important to the European economy, Obviously, there's been a deeper integration of Russian and European economies. And you have, I mean, you have fairly deep splits within the European Union. So how this will fall out is not clear yet.
Now, recent polls going back to the situation in the Czech Republic show that 70% of Czechs oppose this installation. And it was even the case that two individuals in the Czech Republic undertook a long hunger strike.
Right.
What would explain this both widespread and deeply committed opposition to the U.S. project?
Well, shortly before the hunger strike, we hosted Jan Tamas, one of the men who became a hunger striker, on a speaking tour here in the United States. And at one point I asked him essentially that question. And what he said to me is, look, you need to understand our Czech experience. We were militarily occupied by the Nazis. Then we were militarily occupied by the Soviets. And we're not about to allow ourselves to be militarily occupied a third time. They understand that it will undercut their national sovereignty, their political freedom. It makes them a nuclear target for Russia. They are, in terms of their kind of international identity, they don't want to be complicit with the renewal of a new Cold War. So they have many and very deeply felt reasons for wanting to keep these, in this case, the radar out of their country.
And what about the issue of democracy? I mean, if the polls show that 70% of the Czech population is opposed, and yet the government has, am I right, signed an agreement for their installation?
The final document is scheduled to be signed on July the 10th. It had been to be signed earlier, but the level of resistance led Secretary of State Rice to postpone her visit there. I think the problem, I was just recently in Germany, and one of the things that people are feeling in Europe, much as they're feeling here in the United States, is a kind of a disconnect in terms of democratic process. Here, for example, where you have a majority of the U.S. people opposed to the Iraq War, wanting the troops to come home or be ordered home, we don't have, at this point, the levers of power to make this happen. In the Czech Republic, the battle is really over the vote of Green members of the ruling coalition. You know, the Greens had their political origin in opposition to the Cold War and calls for peace, but as we saw in Germany, they have been co-opted in a number of countries. In the Czech Republic, they're part of the ruling coalition. They're split on the question of support for missile defenses, and the real political battle in the Czech Republic will have to do with what the votes of the Green members of the ruling party and the government are.
And will that take place prior to this July 10th?
That would come following the signing. From the Czech perspective, this is a treaty, and it has to be approved by their parliament. One of the things you have in the United States, really in total violation of our Constitution, are a whole series of executive orders relating to the military, where functionally treaties simply are never brought before the Congress. And we have, as they said back at the time the Constitution was written, something akin to an elected monarchy here.
What impact have the Czech protests had on anti-war forces in Europe?
Well, again, it's the missile defenses are seen as one of the central elements in the peace movement. As I said, I was in Germany a couple of weeks ago, where the primary focus is on the NATO forces in Afghanistan, and U.S. demands that more forces be sent to Afghanistan. But as they were planning there for massive demonstrations next year, on the occasion of NATO's 60th anniversary and the adoption of a new and much more aggressive NATO doctrine, the sense among the activists that I was at was they had to include the issue of missile defenses and to involve the Czech movement as to build a European-wide movement.
I understood there was also some chain reaction with regards to the hunger strike as an act of solidarity with the people in the Czech Republic.
That actually was a global activity. Essentially, at the end of the third week of the hunger strike, one of the hunger strikers had liver failure and was taken to hospital. And I think in part, you know, to save the lives of the hunger strikers, people here in the United States and elsewhere took up the idea of kind of a rolling hunger strike. So they've taken place around the world. There was a primary focus, major global day of fasts and actions on June the 22nd. And at this point, in different parts of the world, and especially in the Czech Republic, there are a series of rolling hunger strikes and fasts for a day, two, a week, something like that. And in the Czech Republic, you have, you've got lots of celebrities, former people in government, singers and artists all participating in this. So it's, you know, one of the unfortunate things is that it's been given so little press coverage in the United States, so it's difficult to come by information that we really should have.
To conclude, maybe we can come back to the Congress, which, as you said, the Bush administration is trying to bypass. Is there opposition in the American Congress to this Star Wars project in the Czech Republic, in Eastern Europe?
Well, it's limited. There's been very little focus explicitly on the Czech Republic, but more around the overall deployment. The line that the Democrats have been taking, and they took it throughout the Clinton administration, is that they support funding for research and development of so-called missile defenses, but they oppose the deployment until they're tested and confirmed that they actually work. And this is the line that Obama has taken. So it's not an opposition in principle. It's not an affirmation of European democracy in principle. But it may be a way that people who ultimately oppose them, oppose the deployments, may be finding a politically safe way to try to slow the process down. So I think a lot will depend here on the outcome of the presidential election in November.
Well, thanks again for speaking with us, Joseph, and we'll keep in touch.
Okay, thank you. Pleasure.
Joseph Gerson is the Director of Programs for the American Friends Service Committee in New England. He's author of a new book, Empire and the Bomb.